Today's story is a tale of caution for people like me that never came across a narcissist before, and I hope it's helpful. If you ever come across one, you will be a bit less naive than I was and not fall for the tricks of a narcissist. Or someone with strong narcissistic tendencies, because, you know, I can't diagnose someone just for, you know, I'm not a practitioner or anything like that to put a label on, but I could easily identify a lot of tendencies in this person's behavior, so I would just leave it at that. It's bad enough anyways. Someone narcissistic with a narcissistic personality disorder or someone with tendencies would just do as much damage anyways. So, you know, it's worth being aware of it. And it's just about that charming person that comes in your life. Like a... how can I compare it? Like a tsunami, yeah, that's the best comparison. A tsunami that leaves behind destruction, even if it's like a kind of emotional one, it still can wound you. And how they come in your life is, there's some patterns that they follow, their behavior follows, and we all heard about love bombing, but unless you've been love bombed before, then you just don't know what it feels like. And it doesn't mean that you're a weak person because you fell for love bombing. Love bombing is so powerful that I don't know who could just look the other way and walk away, unless you're really aware, then maybe. But I was not aware of what love bombing was. I thought, wow, this person really likes me. How lovely. And every human being loves that sort of feeling. So it's not wrong to feel, you know, appreciated, or, you know, someone showing a lot of interest in you. It doesn't mean you have a weak self-esteem or you are needy. It's just normal to feel that way. So the first stage is the love bombing. It's quite rapid. This person will show a lot of interest in you. This person will want to spend a lot of time with you, will text you constantly, would want your time, your attention, and they infiltrate your life with force. But you don't notice it because you're just, you know, experiencing the high of that, of the love bombing. So you just get caught in it. And the love bombing can last for quite a bit. It doesn't have a particular timing, depends. And it's just a way of the narcissistic person to position themselves in your life, to kind of, it's the period where they are gathering information about you, and you know, and to know how to proceed later on. So they're gathering this information while you just connecting with this person. They are just in that period of extracting as much information about you as a human being, your likes, your dislikes, the people that you're attracted to, what kind of people you've been with before. Sometimes they will have questionnaires. I mean, this person had a questionnaire that he was following. I didn't know this. And during the love bombing part, the person would use something called mirroring, which, again, I know it as a sort of technique to to use when you want to show that you're listening to somebody in that sort of sense. But I didn't know there was such thing in the love bombing realm called mirroring. And I only noticed this later on, but it did call my attention a few times that, you know, this person would adopt certain things or way of speaking that I use. You know, would adopt certain characteristics. So if I say I admire these and these, or I like people that are like these and these, they would say, oh, I am like that, or I do those things, or I like those things. So it was, at the time, it didn't strike me as much of a thing, but it did caught my attention that they were doing this. But again, I thought it was just a genuine sort of coincidence that this person had a lot of similarities with me. Later on, obviously, now I know that it's sort of part of the strategy of love bombing. So be aware of this if you come across it. Someone just too much things like you, you know. And the fact that, I mean, I think the conclusive fact is that they only said these things after you said them, or after you showed them these things. So they didn't come before you said them, but it's after. And that's what mirroring is, you know. You have to expose these things first, and then they will copy them, and they will adopt them as their personality. So the love bombing phase is obviously super high for you. You feel, wow, you know, that's all I can say, wow. And that's how they get into your, you know, emotionally into, they just infiltrate you, and they make you fall for them, even if it's a friend or, you know, romantic relationship. That's how they get you completely surrender yourself to them. And then, you know, you might see that people might say things like, oh, you know, it's because you're needy that you want to believe those things, but that's not, it's nothing like that. They would try it on with anybody, strong, weak, wounded people, you know, strong people, it doesn't matter. They would try it with everybody. It's just depends on how naive you are, how long they can stay. That's just basically the difference. And like I said, I never experienced anything like this before, so I just really didn't know. Because it sounded so truth and so honest, and you know, so I think that's, yeah, that's the difference. Whether you're aware, if you're aware, you can run away earlier. But like me, I was like thinking, no, that's, why would, my tendency is always to think, why would someone lie so much? What is there so special that they want out of you, that they have to go through all that trouble of doing all this lying? I mean, what's the purpose? I never think about people in that way. So that's why I got caught in this, you know, mesh of lies and deceit. And also because I think, I don't know, personally, it's, I'm sort of relaxed person, laid back. So I was just, you know, happy to go along with most things. There was a lot of controlling behavior. So when do we meet, and what do we do when we meet? You know, this person was dictating all of it, but I was just kind of, you know, happy to go alone because I wanted to spend time with them. I wasn't being too picky. But yeah, earlier on, there was controlling behavior about when and what, you know, and how, you know, how to do things. And I didn't pick her up early, but some of my friends did point out that that sounded a bit controlling. And the demands on my time were also, I thought it was interest, but it was actually control, you know, all day phoning me and video calls, and when I was at work, and when I was at home, and it was just this person just wanted to take over, like a parasite basically. I just didn't see it coming at all. Then that's the first phase, you know, that they hide the love bombing part when they are, you know, I read some testimonials from a narcissist saying that it's a high for them as well, because they feel, they see how much you like them, and they enjoy that sort of feeling of being liked by somebody so much. Even though they know they secure that liking and that affection through the seed, they still don't care. They still get it anyways, and that's what makes them, you know, on your side. You think you're giving it because that person has made themselves look like someone who you would give affection and put interest in them and time and effort, because you believe the character they're painting to you. But on their side, they know they lie to you and they're not that person. But regardless, they're still enjoying what they're getting out of you, which is admiration, support, you know, time, effort. So during that phase, obviously they're feeding. It's the feeding phase where they're getting bigger and bigger, like a parasite, you know. And then comes the part where they're fed enough, and now it's time to start playing the games. And it comes, there's pretty smaller phases going through, but the big bang comes when they discard you, when they just decide they had enough of you, they took what they wanted. Or maybe you challenged them at some point because you noticed something was inconsistent, and you stood up and say, well, what's going on here, or something. And that's when comes the discard, and it's when they toss you on the side and they move on to something else, somebody else. But the thing is, they never let you completely go during that phase, just because they're not, you know, operating in the same way as before, and they're not, you know, chasing you anymore. It doesn't mean that they have completely discarded you. It's just, it feels like that to you, because from the high to the low, it's such an extreme. You do feel tossed on the side, but they're still keeping a tap on you. They're still, you know, they're still around. It's just that they want now to show you that they don't care. And it's the part where they start enjoying a different emotional response from you, which is your pain and your stress and your anxiety. And you then, it's a normal response from the person that's been done to it, is to start chasing the person or start asking for explanations, or, you know, that sort of thing, or start trying harder because they feel, they might feel, oh, maybe I did something wrong, or maybe I didn't do enough, and then they start doing extra. And they enjoy this as much as they enjoy the feeding part, because now you're going on extra, you're doing 200%. And you know, the way that I did try many times to get out, but naively, I didn't do the no contact thing. I just said, you know, this is not working, blah, blah. But I left the doors open, and I obviously kept getting trapped back in again with false promises. There's a thing called fake futuring, which is when they make promises and they say things that sound like forever. They use this kind of words like forever and things like that. Which are just things they say to trap you for longer, because you then keep referring to those times when they say these things, and you think you can get back to that sort of stage when that person was saying these things to you. But it's just all fake and it's all lies. But yeah, after the high comes the low, for sure. And it's a roller coaster, and it really creates a complete sense of confusion in you, And that's what traps you, is that kind of sense that you then decide you need to find out what happened. You need to find out why this person was, you know, chasing you like it was their life depended on, and then suddenly dropped you. Any human being would want to know what happened. And that's where you keep chasing, because you just want to get to the bottom of it. You want the answer. And then during the discard phase is when they start exposing, you know, things like a lot of gaslighting. So every time you point, you say something, complain about their behavior, they will call you sensitive, dramatic, you know, needy, that sort of stuff. And you obviously feel worse, because you feel, maybe I am those things, maybe I did do that, what they are accusing you of. So they just little by little eroding any sense of reality that you might have. You start kind of sort of doubting your own reality, your own feelings. You're so confused all the time, and you might have a wonderful life, lots of friends, fulfilling hobbies, you know, but it starts taking over your life, because you're constantly trying to work it out. What happened? It just, that question will never go, because you want an answer and you will never get it. You'll never get it. So yeah, the only way, once you get to that point where you kind of, you know, if you listen to this and you have added 1 + 1 and it starts making a 2, trust me, there's no other way out than no contact. And me personally, the day that I finally closed those doors, the relief was immediate. The relief was just almost compared to the high that I felt initially when I met this person. It was just a sense of peace. My head went quiet immediately. It was just, I just never have experienced anything like this, because sure, I've broken up before with people and it was painful, but it's what the difference is here, is the highs and the lows are so extreme. In a normal relationship that is going, that is on the way out, it's sort of gradual. It's sort of, I feel like the highs and lows are kind of close together, and the pattern is a little bit more stable, and it follows just what I call it, I would say, a normal pattern of development, you know. And when you break up, it's painful, it can be, and you know, depending on how you felt for that person, but it just doesn't feel, it feels like you can cope somewhere, or I don't know, it just doesn't feel the same. Sort of breaking contact or just being in the way out with a person with narcissistic tendencies, it's a completely different thing. It's like coming, I can't relate to it, but they describe it as coming off drugs or something. It's really powerful stuff, and you need to be so focused, and you might go back and forth a few times, but for me it was just the one conversation where I refused to back off, and I pushed that person against the corner, because I just was so determined to get an answer. And I didn't get an answer, but I did get a lot of exposing on their behalf. They did use every technique in the book to gaslight me, you know, denial, all sorts of things. And then it became clear that I didn't know at the time, I wasn't thinking narcissism, but I was thinking toxic, and that was the final straw, when I realized this person would not experience any remorse, accountability, and that was for me what broke, basically, was just knowing that this person would never be capable of understanding how I felt and how their actions impacted on me. And yeah, it was just when I pressed block that everything changed. Would they get back in touch with me? I made it quite difficult now. Apparently, they always come back eventually. But to be honest, I'm not focusing on that side of things. I'm not focusing on their reaction, what their reaction might be, or thinking in that term, but I'm thinking more on how I feel right now, how peaceful it is for me, not having to deal with that up and down. And that's just where I'm going with. But obviously when you get to the low, you've been in it enough to already be caught in it. So the part that you need to be aware is the first, is the love bombing part. I think that's where you need to be the most alert and really keep tabs on when you start feeling, or if friends are coming and telling you these are red flags, don't ignore them. I don't say just throw it all in the bin immediately and run away, but just be more aware and alert than I was. And if it starts adding up to what I just told you, then be concerned. You know, the mirroring. Obviously, there were other things like talking about their ex and describing them in really bad terms. Now I'm thinking sometimes, was the ex that terrible, or did they make the ex become insane? Like, you know, with their behavior, that they had to become so, you know, to such extreme, because they will push you to behave in ways you never behaved before. They will push you to behave insecure and sort of clingy sometimes and things like that. So I was just wondering whether, obviously I can see they have no sense of self-awareness, so the way they're describing the exes is probably how they made them, push them to. So yeah, there was a constant sort of comparison. Whenever I pointed something out, I got compared immediately to their ex, or she did this too, and things like that, which is kind of, nobody likes that, to be told, or you're just like my ex, you know. It's kind of quite, you know, demoralizing in a way, because it's taking away the validity of how you're feeling, and it's just putting you in a kind of bucket with all sorts of people that you don't even know. So yeah, it's a cautionary tale for people to be aware of the charming individual that came in your life like a tsunami and left the town flooded with all kinds of unusual feelings that, you know, sort of confusion and all sorts of really not very pleasant. And again, I'm not saying this person in particular was, you know, had a narcissistic personality disorder per se, but they had quite a lot of toxic behaviors. So quite similar to the ones described in all the papers where they talk about narcissists. And like I said, I know the word narcissism, and I had a kind of idea of what it was, but I never encountered one personally, so how would I supposed to know that this is the worst thing ever? So yeah, please be vigilant, and hopefully you won't fall for it like I did. So, in my previous episode about my encounter with a narcissist, I think when I listened back to it, I did did leave a lot of fundamental things out of the story. So I wanted to maybe talk more about what it feels like for the narcissist. Maybe talk about their motivation for doing and behaving in that way. That will give us a sort of deeper understanding of the situation. So I think the first question will be, how does a person become a narcissist or develops narcissistic traits? And go all say that 100% it will go back to the early childhood and their relationship with their primary caregivers. And it would be something like the child is repeatedly told that who they are, their behaviors, their emotions are wrong by being constantly criticized whenever they expose one of those, dismissed, neglected. So, you know, if they, this is just an example, but if they are expressing an emotion, they will be told, stop doing that, why are you doing that, etc. So just over time, the lesson to the child would be, well, seems like clearly who I am and how I feel is wrong. There's something really fundamentally wrong, since the person that's closest to me doesn't seem to like me, doesn't seem to approve of any of part of me. So I'm going to hide who I am from now on so I can survive, so I can connect with people, so I can interact with people and be safe. I'm going to hide my emotions, who I am, everything. So this kind of dictates what goes, you know, in the mirroring stage, where a narcissist operates in a way of adopting your personality, traits of your personality, or traits that they have seen in other people that they think are positive traits, traits that they aspire to, and obviously that's why they will avoid any deep connections, because at a deeper connection level it's really hard to hide who you are. So they always operate at a superficial level and avoid anything deeper, any relationship that it's deeper. So they would obviously mirror you because they know this is 100% successful approach. If someone that you're interacting with shows traits that are already present in you, or traits of positive traits that people normally admire, then it's likely that you would like that person back. So the narcissist knows this, and they are constantly going around adopting different personalities and sort of making themselves look like someone that is likely to be liked, because that is their need to fulfill. They need to be validated, they need to be admired, they need to be liked and loved, even though on false pretenses, it doesn't matter. They have that primary need that hasn't been fulfilled, that wasn't fulfilled during childhood. So now it has become a life quest of sort of preoccupation with, do people like me? Do people admire me? More so than all the people that don't have that primary need. That need was fulfilled to a certain degree in early childhood, their preoccupation with being like is just normal, average. We all want to belong, we all want to be liked, we all want to be loved, but it's not a preoccupation. It's like a cup that is full to a point where we are satisfied with this, so we can move on with our lives without constantly questioning this. For a narcissist, the cup is always empty, so they're constantly trying to fill it up. But do remember that it's being filled up on the false pretenses, and they know that. So the cup will remain empty forever and ever, because they know they have achieved a certain amount of validation with deceit. So it would maybe met the need for a while, but then, you know, the problem will reoccur, because they know that that's not who they are. They don't even remember who they are anymore, probably, after adopting so many different personalities and traits from all the people around them. They have lost the sense of, really, who are they? So long you denied yourself a connection with your own self and your emotions, that you just don't have them accessible anymore to yourself. And that's why your relationship with your core self is so important in how you interact with other people. So if your needs were met with consistency, your needs for approval and love and support and understanding, then you're probably operating on a secure level. But if they were not, you're probably operating on an insecure, anxious, avoidant, dismissive level when you relate and interact with other people. So that's the narcissist quest. It's the quest for approval. But it's, again, under false pretenses. They have learned this behavior of adopting all the personalities. And so that's why their path is different than perhaps all the personality disorders. So people think that narcissists are very full of themselves, you know, very self-reassured, confident, because that's how they come across. But deep inside, there's a big, high level of insecurity and anxiety about basically disguising who they are, because remember, they know who they are is wrong. And so insecurity about who they really are, because again, they were told, you know, everything about you is wrong. So in that level, narcissists are, you're dealing with a very insecure person compared to maybe a psychopath who doesn't have insecurity issues. That is not what they struggle with. But for the narcissist, their drive is feeding that insecurity. But what's particular about it is the way they go on about it. Their behavior is all centered around feeding that need, because it has forever become an unfulfilled need. So it becomes their preoccupation. And that's basically their motivation. What they want from you, the supply, is for you to feed that need for a certain period of time until you're no longer feeding that need. Maybe you started to become a bit aware of who they are, really, and inconsistencies in their personality. Things don't add up. And the narcissist would never allow you to uncover them. That is one of the biggest fears, is to be uncovered by people, found out. So they will never stay in a place where they feel that is a probability. And that is usually when relationships are becoming deeper. They were never louder. You know, they would say things like, oh, I'm not looking for a serious relationship, blah, 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 things like this. They would never put themselves in that position to be uncovered. That is their biggest fear. So, and he also explains why are they so sensitive to small criticism? They react with such over-the-top rage, or, you know, they just, their reaction, it's just out of proportion. And it also explains why they love criticizing others. Remember, they were criticized constantly during in their early childhood. And so it's a kind of form of self-validation, criticizing others constantly. And I did see that, I experienced this. Things that I would never say to people or think about people. Comments, constant comments about just the smallest things. And things like, I don't like your trousers. Oh, you did this wrong. You're using the wrong tools. Blah, blah, blah. Just constant criticism. I did point it out to this person. Do you ever say anything nice to people? Do you ever compliment them? Because it did strike me as the kind of unnecessary criticism, not constructive, irrelevant. It wasn't pointing out that I did something wrong or behave in a wrong way. It was just things that, you know, about my appearance or my skills or something like that, always putting, trying to put me down, you know. So just things that you would not hear other people point out, like the building where I work was ugly. But at the same time, I don't have those insecurities. So eventually I could see that they were exhausted trying to find something to make me insecure by. Because what do I care that the building I work in is ugly? It doesn't reflect on me. I didn't build the building. So they were just always trying desperately to find things to throw in the conversation. And their excuse was, oh, well, you know, I'm a very honest person. I like to say as it is. So they were masking this behavior, this constant criticism under the trait of being honest. But we know when it comes to narcissists that they're honest is the least thing that they will all ever be. Because we know that the core thing is that they're hiding who they are from others. So honesty is not a trait that they can ever claim. What they could claim maybe is being utterly rude and cruel. And I did notice this sort of behavior, because it was quite, it wasn't just the odd thing where sometimes we do say the odd thing, you know, mean thing without realizing, and but the difference is we realize we said something wrong or offensive, so we'll take responsibility for it, we'll apologize and not do it again. That's just most normal people. But for a narcissist, it's the pleasure seeking of trying to put people down, because remember, it's a kind of projection of how they feel about themselves. So criticizing others elevates them mentally for a time being. So that's quite expected. If someone is nitpicking at you in that way, do pay attention. Whether the comment is relevant, whether it's constructive, whether it is, all of those things do add up. So there was quite a lot of that, criticizing everything. And it was like sort of jealousy. I sensed like a jealousy of other people's accomplishments, you know, instead of admiration. I always sensed sort of, yeah, the flavor in my mouth was jealousy, not, you know, healthy admiration. And there might be people that are arrogant out there, you know, it's not, but don't confuse this with narcissism, because you need more than just being arrogant. It's a warning tell, but it doesn't amount to being narcissist. And there's nothing wrong with being self-assured and confident. You know, we sort of too often put people down for being confident or, you know, liking themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. That's actually healthy. It's just that these are not the real traits of a narcissist. That's how they appear. But the real trait is deep insecurity, anxiety about being liked and accepted. And the anxiety runs constant, which is why they're always talking about themselves, asking questions about themselves, so trying to get feedback from the person they interacted with constantly. So that's why the conversation will always stir back to them, because they are trying to confirm whether who they are portraying to you, it's working, whether you are accepting them, whether you are liking them. So that is why that loop of constant reassurance can be seen and be confused with arrogance and being self-assured. But it's the contrary. It's the deep insecurity checking on every, you know, minute in the interaction, because it can only be fulfilled for a certain period of time before the insecurity comes back, and they must check again by asking questions, by talking about themselves and checking your reaction. So it's probably happening at a very unconscious level with them, or at a conscious level, but it's now become something that they can't help, because the anxiety is, you know, it's sort of driving them, the insecurity is driving them. So don't think that narcissists are confident people. On the contrary, they behave the way they behave because they have no confidence whatsoever. They are very, 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 very insecure. And it becomes obvious when you look back at it, you know, at the incidents. It doesn't necessarily occur at the time unless you are aware of who you're dealing with. So it kind of explains the discard phase and why they must go on to find the early admiration that you had for them, that sort of light. They need to find it again and again, and they can't keep that on for a long, long time with one person, because at some point people will see the cracks and the inconsistencies, and they'll start sort of questioning things and trying to analyze behaviors. And this is dangerous for the narcissist. It sort of signals that the ground is shaking out here. We must move on to a fresh start, fresh person. So this is why you get discarded. They cannot maintain this deceit for that long. It's really difficult. So even if they stay in a long relationship, most of that relationship will be a sort of, it'll be on the discard part rather than the love bombing. The love bombing it can only go for a certain time. They cannot maintain this 100% for forever. So they will never stay long enough to be found out. So if you're thinking, why did I get discarded? Well, that's why you got discarded, because your supply started to be sort of inconsistent. Your supply started to sort of see, you know, cracks and question, and you became difficult. You became asking questions. You became sort of complaining, and you know that puts them off because they're not going to stay and explain themselves to you and unveil who they are and what they're about. That's not how this works. You move to a fresh supply, blind victim, who will give them unquestionable admiration until that cracks, and then they'll move on to another one and another one. There's a lot of people in this world. Remember, they're not after a deep connection, they're not after real love, they're just after meeting that need. That's it for them. So they're not in the business of connecting with people and establishing, you know, lasting relationships. They're in the business of feeling that need for admiration and like, and that's what it is in there for them. So you have to understand, instead of feeling bad about yourself, oh, I wasn't enough, or you know, they didn't love me, they couldn't love you because they don't love themselves. So don't feel bad about being discarded. On the contrary, see that as your opportunity to escape them. You know, feel that it's a good thing that you are liberated. The earlier the better, really. So yes, the nature of the narcissist is see the deep insecurity, anxiety about their cool self, and their motivation is to be reassured, to be liked, to be admired, all the things that they never got. As a child, and it's just a loop, and nobody can stop it. So if you're thinking you can help them change, you can't. You can never give them what they're after, not for a long time. So don't try. Get out and be safe.